Hello, this is Dr. Grande. Today I will offer an update on the case of Corey Richens. First, I'll look at the background of this case, move to the timeline of the crime, then offer my analysis. Corey Darden Richens was born on April 20, 1990, and lived in Utah. She earned a master's degree from Utah State University and worked as a cashier at a Home Depot store. In 2009, Corey became romantically involved with a contractor who frequently visited the store, named Eric Richens. He was 8 years older than her. Eric started a masonry business. He was 50% owner. He was extremely successful. Corey and Eric lived in a 4,800 square foot house on West Willow Court in Camas, Utah, about an hour east of Salt Lake City. The couple had a son together and made plans to get married. Eric and Corey signed a prenuptial agreement, which meant that if they divorced, Eric would keep his ownership interest in his business. If Eric died during the marriage, however, Corey would get it. This created a powerful incentive to commit murder, which was a novel but unintended feature of the agreement. The couple married on June 15, 2013, and went on to have two more sons. In 2019, Corey started a real estate business, which included flipping houses. She did not have the same success as her husband in business. Corey had no idea how to run a business like this, and struggled financially. Allegedly, she forged Eric's signature multiple times to obtain money to fund her enterprise. In October 2020, Eric established a trust and placed his estate under the control of his sister. He did not tell his wife about this. Sometime around 2021, Corey started having an affair with a man named Josh Grossman. She wanted to leave her husband Eric to be with him, but did not want to leave Eric's money. By March 2022, Corey's real estate business was in serious financial trouble. She was over $7 million in debt and had taken out multiple short-term loans with extremely high interest rates. Despite her massive money problems, Corey had big plans for the future. She was going to buy an unfinished 22,800-square-foot mansion at 106 North Legacy Way in Heber City, Utah. The property also featured a 3,000-square-foot guest house. Corey planned on making the mansion an event center and renting it for $12,000 to $15,000 a day, as she and her lover Josh lived together in the guest house. Her husband Eric opposed the purchase of the property, which is sometimes referred to as the Midway Mansion. Now moving to the timeline of the crime. On March 4, 2022, at 3:22 a.m., Corey Richens called 911 and reported that her husband was unresponsive. When the police arrived, they found Eric dead on the floor at the foot of his bed. Here is the story that Corey supplied to the police. On March 3, at 9 p.m., a little over 6 hours earlier, Corey and Eric consumed alcohol to celebrate the upcoming purchase of the Midway Mansion. In the kitchen, Corey prepared Eric a drink called a Moscow Mule, which is a cocktail made of vodka, ginger beer, and lime juice. She brought the drink to the bedroom and Eric consumed it. Not long after going to bed, Corey visited the bedroom of one of her sons because he was having night terrors. She decided to sleep in that room. At about 3 a.m., Corey woke up and walked to the bedroom where Eric was sleeping. She realized that he was cold to the touch and called 911. Here is what the police found during the course of their investigation. Eric died from a fentanyl overdose. He had about 5 times the lethal dose in his system. The drug was not medical grade. Rather, the fentanyl had been illegally obtained. Corey claimed she left her cell phone plugged in next to her bed and did not take it with her when she walked into her son's room. The next time she used it was to call 911 after finding Eric cold to the touch. An analysis of the cell phone data revealed that during the time when Corey claimed to be in her son's room, her phone locked and unlocked several times, moved around, and sent and received messages. The messages had been deleted. The police learned that Corey had communicated with a drug dealer named Carmen Lauber. Carmen told officers that Corey had asked for pain medication in late 2021 or early 2022. Not long after this, Corey asked for something stronger. She specifically requested some of the Michael Jackson stuff. Corey was trying to get her hands on propofol, but Carmen sold her fentanyl instead. This was on February 11, 2022. 3 days later, on Valentine's Day, Eric became sick after eating a sandwich Corey purchased for him. He told his business partner he thought his wife was trying to poison him. About 2 weeks after this alleged poisoning, Corey purchased more fentanyl from Carmen. 6 days later, Eric died from a fentanyl overdose. The day after Eric's death, Corey purchased the Midway Mansion for $2.9 million. So even him dying did not stop her from moving forward with her plans. As part of the investigation, the police seized Corey's cell phone and found some interesting searches, which occurred after Eric's death. For example, signs of being under federal investigation, what is white-collar crime, what happens if you are detained but never got read Miranda rights, can FBI find deleted messages, can cops force you to do a lie detector test, luxury prisons for the rich in America, women Utah prison, death certificate says pending, will life insurance still pay, how long does it take life insurance companies to pay, if someone is poisoned, what does it go down on the death certificate as? Is circumstance an unknown accident? Can probable cause be a testimony? Can manner of death be changed on a death certificate? How to permanently delete information from iPhone remotely? And what is a lethal dose of fentanyl? This didn't look too good for Corey, but she was not immediately arrested. Instead, the police continued the investigation. On March 7, 2023, Corey Richens self-published a 41-page book inspired by the death of her husband titled, Are You With Me? It is about a father who died and returned as a ghost to be supportive to his son. The book is supposed to be heartwarming and reassuring for children coping with the loss of a loved one. In reality, it is poorly written, emotionally disconnected, and unsettling. The illustrations make it look as though the father was terrorizing or haunting the son, which is an unconventional approach to reassurance. Corey did not appear to possess the ability to empathize. She could not understand how other people were feeling. On May 8, 2023, about 2 months after her creepy book was released, Corey was arrested and charged with a few different offenses, including aggravated murder. She was facing 25 years to life in prison for the murder charge alone. On one occasion, when Corey was transported from jail to a medical facility, the authorities searched her cell and found a folded 6-page letter inside a book about the law. The letter was addressed to Corey's mother, Lisa Darden. At the top of the first page, the words "walk the dog" were written in large letters. This appears to be code for "destroy this letter." In the body of the letter, Corey explained a plan for her brother, Ronnie, to remember having a conversation with Eric, consistent with Eric obtaining fentanyl in Mexico. She wanted her brother to tell her attorney about this memory. The prosecution believed Corey was desperate to explain where the fentanyl came from and accused her of witness tampering. On February 23, 2026, the trial for Corey Richens started. The state argued that Corey murdered Eric to inherit millions of dollars and start a new life with her boyfriend. The defense argued that Corey was targeted by vindictive in-laws who implicated her in Eric's death. They could not accept that Eric was using illegal drugs. On March 16, 2026, Corey Richens was found guilty of aggravated murder, aggravated attempted murder, forgery, and 2 counts of insurance fraud. Her sentencing is scheduled for May 13, 2026. This date is significant in another way. It would have been Eric's 44th birthday. Now moving to my analysis. Corey Richens maintains her innocence. Her supporters argue that there is insufficient evidence to prove she poisoned Eric. The state, of course, disagrees. They believe the evidence paints a clear picture of guilt. This brings me to the question, is Corey guilty of murder? Let's take a look at the evidence both for and against the idea she is guilty, starting with the inculpatory factors. In the year before Eric's death, Corey started having an affair. She developed a long-term plan to be with her lover. Corey was running a failing house-flipping venture and was over $7 million in debt. About 3 months before Eric died, she updated Eric's life insurance policy to make herself the sole beneficiary. The insurance company notified Eric, and he changed the policy back to the way it was. Corey obtained fentanyl illegally from a drug dealer. She admitted that she prepared an alcoholic beverage for Eric and brought it to him in the bedroom right before he died from a fentanyl overdose. On the 911 call, Corey immediately tried to establish her alibi. She delayed performing CPR for over 5 minutes. Corey told the police that she left her cell phone in her bedroom when she walked into her son's bedroom, but the phone was used during that time. According to various witnesses, Corey may have tried to poison Eric on two prior occasions. The day after Eric died, Corey purchased a mansion that he did not want her to purchase. Her internet search history was consistent with being fixated on gaining a financial benefit from her husband's death. Ultimately, Corey collected $13 million from insurance policies and spent about half of it on settling her debts. Now moving to the exculpatory factors. The police never found fentanyl in the Richens family house. Eric may have had a drug problem. Perhaps he obtained the fentanyl on his own, or Corey purchased the drug at his request. That's pretty much it for the exculpatory factors. When considering all the evidence in this case, do I believe that Corey is guilty? Yes, in my opinion, she is guilty beyond a reasonable doubt. The jury came to the correct verdict. What do I think happened in this case? This is just a theory, my opinion. Corey Richens was self-centered, impulsive, irresponsible, reckless, perfidious, cold, callous, sadistic, materialistic, hedonistic, greedy, overconfident, arrogant, nefarious, unrefined, falsely believed she was special, had a sense of entitlement, and was exceedingly creepy. Her marriage to Eric was unhappy. Part of this may have been caused by Eric spending several months at a time away on hunting trips. Corey found a new lover, but she had a problem. There was a prenuptial agreement with Eric, which prevented her from taking his money during a divorce. Her first plan to deal with the situation was to build her own multi-million-dollar business. She could be successful just like her husband, Eric. Using Eric's money, Corey started flipping houses. Her only problem was that she was completely incompetent. She had no understanding of finances and market conditions. In deal after deal, Corey lost money. Her situation became even worse when she borrowed money at extremely high interest rates, hoping she could dig herself out of the hole. Eventually, Corey found herself over $7 million in debt. Discouraged by her failure, she changed her strategy from earn millions of dollars by flipping houses to earn millions of dollars by murdering her husband. She poisoned Eric with fentanyl and closed on her dream mansion the next day. The idea here was to use her husband's estate and insurance payouts to turn the Midway mansion into an event center. Corey thought that she could charge $12,000 to $15,000 a day and live a life of luxury in the guest house. Once again, she demonstrated how she had no idea what she was doing. The mansion was not zoned for commercial use. It had no event infrastructure, and in that area of Utah, an event center might go for $10,000 a day at the most. Not surprisingly, Corey failed again. At this point, she came up with another plan to extract money from Eric's death. She self-published a book about a ghost dad haunting a son. Corey was pretending to have empathy, like she truly understood how harmful it was for a child to lose a parent. One motive for writing the book may have been to ease any small amount of guilt Corey had for committing murder. The book demonstrates how it's okay that Eric was dead. Sure, he was viciously murdered by his wife, but nobody should worry about it because he could come back from the dead, float around, and encourage his children. They didn't really need their father to be physically present. They just needed the non-existent support that he could offer from beyond the grave. Corey was trying to patch things up, in a sense, to portray the murder as not such a negative occurrence. Her homicidal behavior did not significantly interfere with family life. Eric was just a little lighter, quieter, and more transparent. When Corey was arrested for murder, she believed that she could outsmart law enforcement. She came up with the notorious Walk the Dog letter, a brazen attempt to fabricate a story where Eric was responsible for obtaining the fentanyl that killed him. In the end, Corey did not escape justice. She may not be too worried about it, however. Based on her search history, she believed there are luxury prisons for the rich in America. Corey will have many years to evaluate the accuracy of that theory. Those are my thoughts on the case of Corey Richens. Thank you so much for watching. I'll talk to you soon.